Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to grieve all alone. Conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be, but I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown. You're still around. Too real is the feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like the clown. Like a crown, pretending that you're still around.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Eloquently Speak and View talk show on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Stacy Lunsford, affectionately known as the Pastor of Poetry. I would like to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. Our message is entitled, our topic tonight is, what is the purpose of your mask? What are you hiding? What are you camouflaging? Tonight we're going to learn how to identify our character flaws. You know, that side of us that we don't allow others to see. That side of us that hides in the closet, afraid to be our authentic self for fear of being hurt, ousted, rejected, or humiliated. Tonight, I hope to present some questions about the purpose of your mask, especially when it deals with covering up our fears. And I would like to present a question at the appointed time: what is the source of your fear? And what would you do if you weren't afraid? Now, tonight, I want to really highlight our character flaws, because our character is very important, and our character is developed by the trials, the tribulations, the hurts, the pains, the challenging things that we go through. But it's also a part of the positive things that happen in our lives. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 21 and 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit helps to develop the character inside of us. So when we are wounded, now in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the verses prior to the fruit of the Spirit, it talks about the works of the flesh. And oftentimes when we deal with the works of the flesh, we get hurt, we get wounded, we get violated, we get traumatized. Like there is so much that happens. And we either fight or we either flight. We take flight or either we'll stand and we'll fight. But whatever course you decide to take, are you going to be true to who you really are, or are you going to perpetrate a fraud and wear a mask to camouflage, to cover up, and to hide what happened to you and how what happened to you made you feel? Now, I do not want to hurt anyone's feelings tonight about anything that we will be discussing, but we will be raw and honest as we share our own testimonies and as we just present the truth. And the truth hurts. And the purpose of this discussion is to help all of us to mature in embracing our true identity and who we are in Christ Jesus. Not our past, not what happened to us, not the things that we've been hiding under the mask, which brings me back to character. Your virtues, your values, your belief system. Oftentimes our belief system is based on something. Now, as we were growing up, and I have to make this personal because it may not be the same way for everyone, but as I was growing up, whatever my mother and my father said, I just took their word for it. You know, I believed it. And so we grow up believing things that are not necessarily true, but it's old wise fables, old family tales, you know, traditions. And some of those things may be contrary to God's word. So we have to unlearn some of the things that we were taught, because when we learn wrong, that also causes us to wear a mask. And a good example, my mother used to always say, "Stacy, be careful when you're crossing the street. Stacy, be careful. If anyone try and talk to you, don't talk to strangers." And although it was a very good thing and it was wisdom because it was protecting me, but it was overbearing, but she taught me how to be afraid. So operating out of my fear, unknowingly, I started wearing a mask, and it prevented me from being my bold, courageous self. So, but it took me time to learn that. And I use that example because wearing a mask is not always negative. It doesn't mean that the things that we're covering up is because we're trying to hide what happened to us. It's sometimes we hide and we wear a mask to protect ourselves. But when we deal with the negative sides of our character, the anger, the bitterness, the resentment, you know, when we deal with the fruit of the spirits, the first fruit is love, and the opposite of love is hate. So if you want to wear a mask of hatred, guess what? Underneath the surface, you do love, but whatever happened to you was causing you to act out of your hurt and your pain, and it causes you to display behavior that's not true to your nature. So we're going to cover a wide variety of topics, and I hope that I have truly captured your attention, because sometimes when we hear a topic, we think that the host and the co-host or the people that's a part of the discussion are going to go in a specific direction. But as you all know, I like to think outside of the box. And tonight's discussion, I pray that it will help you to uncover whatever the Holy Spirit reveals to you about you that will help you to let go of something that has you connected to the past, that is preventing you from embracing the new thing that is springing forth in your life. And the moment you make that decision to take off that mask and embrace your true identity and unapologetically be yourself, your dream, your vision, like everything is going to take off. So having said that, I wanted to lay the foundation. Tonight, I want to introduce you to my co-host, Erica, life coach Erica Burnett. Welcome to the mic. How are you?
I'm great, Miss Stacy. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you so much. And what do you think about this topic tonight?
Oh, this is a goodie. It's a goodie. It's a goodie. It's always a goodie. because all of us do. All of us have in the past worn a mask. Some of us are, a lot of us are currently wearing one. And then futuristically, we still going to do it. Some of us still are going to put that mask back on for whatever reason. But we're going to get into why we put that mask back on once we get rid of it, why we just stash it away in a closet for, you know, temporarily, and then we just want to pop it out, you know, at certain instances. But we're going to talk about that too. But this is a good one. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, okay. Well, thank you. I'm excited as well. And we do extend apologies to everyone. Our other co-host, Apostle Sheila A. Olive, she is not on the mic yet, and I'm not sure if she's showing up. So we just want to give a shout out to her, and we pray that everything is well with her. And we do have a guest on the line that I would like to introduce to everyone, and her name is Leisha Proby. And I'm going to open up your mic and welcome you to the Eloquently Speaking View talk show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. What do you think about this topic tonight? What stood out to you?
Oh, this is a good topic. Because whether we are aware or not, we put on a mask from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. We're masking something. So it's going to be very informative. It's going to be very aware. Sometimes we mask and we're not fully aware that that's exactly what we're doing. Get your cut down there. I'm sorry. Because we are so used to that being part of our dress attire, sometimes when it's time for God to expose us, we don't always know how to just put it down and leave it down. So yes, this is going to be a good topic. Nice.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. I'm going to close your mic for a little bit, and then I will come back to you, and we are going to just kind of go around the table with our discussions. And I want to start by talking about a mask and what a mask is and what a mask does. And if you are listening via the internet, or if you are listening on the phone and you would like to join this discussion, please press 1#. Please press 1 on your phone, and we will open up the mic so that you can join the discussion. And if you are listening via the internet, you could put your comments right on the Blog Talk Radio page, or you could put your comments or your questions on the message board directly on my main page. So what is the purpose of a mask? When we think about a mask, I want you to think about all of the different artistic masks that you grew up seeing in the classroom, especially in art. If you had an art class when you was growing up and you made different masks, and then we have a lot of masks that we see that represent different cultures. In the arts, we see different masks where sometimes one of the masks is smiling and the other one is frowning. But a lot of times, these masks represent different deities, different ancestors, different religions, different ethnic groups. And it no matter what our nationality is, and I mean, we're living in a very diverse world. Every culture has some kind of history that connects them to a mask. And when they wear the mask, they often have on costumes. So it's not just the mask. They prepare. It's like it's a performance that's going to take place. All the way in the hills of Japan, all the way in Brazil, and we could go on and on, but this is not a black thing. It is not a white thing. It is not a yellow, purple, or green thing. Mask is something that is known to everyone. But I want to give the definition of the mask. A mask is a covering, a disguise that helps a person to conceal their identity. Whether they perform in a dance or whether it's a woman that was abused in a domestic violence situation and she got black eyes and she's putting on her mask to cover up the bruises. And it may be the concealer, her makeup. It may be the eyeshadow, the eyeliner, the eyeshadow, the lipstick. And it may not be a cosmetic, like a costume type of mask, but all of the makeup is used to cover up, to conceal. And we even have people that deal with acne. They wear a mask as they put on the concealer that the dermatologist gives them to cover up the acne, the bumps, because a lot of people feel self-conscious. So I just want to talk about the different ways that a mask is used. Now, the mask is a covering, a disguise that helps a person to pretend, to make believe that they are something or somebody that they are not, like an impersonator. So right here, I want to open up the mic, and we're going to go around the table. Erica, do you have a personal testimony where you have had an encounter with a mask, whether you knew that you was wearing this mask or whether you did not know you was wearing a mask? And if you did know, what was the purpose of your mask?
I sure do. And it's a very basic, testimony that I think a lot of people have gone through or are going through or whatever. It happened it was like an everyday thing when I went to, when I went to work and years ago. And I would walk in that office knowing I ain't like none of them people up in there. None of them, couldn't stand them. I ain't want nobody talking to me. Don't say nothing because I thought they was rude. I thought they was nasty. So I went in there every day, and I put a smile on my face and acted like I was in the most wonderful place there was every single day for I don't know how many years. I put a mask on when I went home, and the thing about that is when you put that mask on a daily basis and you go home, you still got to look yourself in the mirror. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I said, now, why are you going up in here pretending that you like these people because that's what you think you got to do, or pretending you got to be nice to this person who done either cussed you out, done trying to poison everybody and make them, you know, go against you, trying to destroy your reputation and all of it, but you still going up in here. You ain't told them yet, but you still going to go up in here and act like everything is okay. And to me, that's very damaging. It's very damaging. And I never ended up, you know, saying what I needed to say and being truthful about how I felt about any of it. All I did was just move on to another job. Like I said, which was not productive. Well, it really wasn't healthy for me. So I vowed, when I tell you, I vowed never do that again. I mean, I got to work with you, but I ain't got to put up with your stuff either. So I'm not coming up in here and act like what's going on is the right thing. So now I speak my mind. I say what I got to say. I say it in a nice way, and I keep it moving. Because at the end of the day, you got to look at yourself in the mirror, and you got to be okay with your actions, your feelings, and everything that you do. You got to live with that. Nobody else has to live with that. And that's another deep one that I hope we talk about, is the emotions, because we do. We suppress our emotions a lot, which is very unhealthy, and we cover that up, which is also a way of wearing a mask when you don't recognize your feelings. And you just push them aside for the sake of everyone else. That's another way that you wear a mask. But that's my testimony. One of many. I got many, but that was one that I just quickly came to mind.
Okay, and you're fading in and out.
Oh, I am?
So it wasn't. Yes, the last thing that you said, like you started breaking up, but the last thing you said, if you could say it over again, because you was going in and out.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can hear me clear now?
I can, but it's still a little choppy.
Okay, you know what? What I'll do is I'll just call on the other line, but in the meantime, someone else can speak, and then I'll just use my other phone.
Okay.
Okay.
So I want to, what Erica was saying was so powerful because, like I said, we want to think outside of the box. So she said we have to, like, deal with our emotions. I'm not saying it exactly like she said, but what stood out to me was if Erica was going to say, like, if I was dealing with something and Erica said, Stacy, are you okay? And I just smile and say, yeah, I'm okay. But underneath it, I really wasn't okay. So for every single person, when you said you were okay, when you're not okay, you really put a mask on. You wore that invisible mask. You put that smile on your face and you talked the talk, you walked the walk, and nobody knew what was really going on with you. But when you got alone in your, you know, your quiet place, in your closet, in your room or wherever, you had to deal with the reality of what was really wrong. And a lot of times when you're in an abusive relationship or you're in a codependent relationship, we've been dealing with a lot of topics that are associated with mental wellness, and we've been doing our best to bring awareness issues and topics. And it's important to understand that just because somebody has a mental situation, it doesn't mean that you are crazy. Just because you need to talk to someone, just because you need to talk it out, it doesn't mean that you're crazy. If you need to go to counseling, if you need, if you're dealing with grievance, the loss of a loved one, because that's a whole nother type of mask. And there are so many things that we're going to talk about, but it is real important that you understand that when you wear a mask, there are things that you are covering up. And sometimes we need help with getting through that process of taking off the mask. And if that is you tonight, we want you to reach out to us and say, hey, it's me. I really need help. I don't know how to take this mask off. It's so much stuff I've been covering up through the years. I don't even know where to begin. And we have two wonderful co-hosts that have been doing a wonderful job the last couple of months on the radio, and they are both life coaches. And we have Erica Burnett, who was just speaking. She is a life coach. And our own Apostle Sheila A. Olive is on the mic with us now. And she is also a life coach. And she wears many hats. She is an entrepreneur as well. And Sheila, I want to welcome you to the mic. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me again.
Oh, you're welcome. You're part of the team, girl. So what's your take on what you've heard so far and what's standing out to you in regards to this topic?
Well, one of the things I thought about was, you know, we've been wrestling in society with wearing masks over the past 3 years, physical masks. And we wore those physical masks to protect us and to help maintain our health. But there are social masks that we wear in different social settings that protect our emotional state. And so I thought about how when we join a church or when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, because, you know, I'm a licensed, ordained pastor as well. So when you have people who come into the church and they accept Christ and they receive him as their personal Savior at the altar, there's a lot going on at the altar at that particular time. But it happens so fast. So they receive Christ and then they go back to their seat. But then after church, they go back to their life. So it's their life hasn't necessarily changed, but their spiritual status has changed. So they go out of the church and then they come back next Sunday and they come back from the same life situation that they were in prior to them being saved. So people begin to wear masks within the church because they want to assimilate. They want to fit in to this, I'm blessed and highly favored, praise God, everything is good. But everything is not always good. And I believe this is where the church needs to pay attention. Like, we need to deal with people holistically. We need to deal with their life situations. And everybody's life situation is different. There are people that come to the church that are single mothers, single fathers. There are people who come to the church who have lost loved ones, who have lost loved ones, who have lost their jobs. And we need to deal with those life situations, because if we're not dealing with those life situations, it causes people to start to wear masks so they can be more like the churchy culture instead of the real life situation that they're living. Now, there is hope for people who are dealing with situations like, you know, single parenthood, loss of grief. There is hope, but it takes time. Everything takes time. Seed, time, and harvest. Everything in the world works according to that principle. So in order to not have people come in and be something they aren't, because that's what wearing a mask is. You're becoming something that you're really not. So you put on this face. You put on this. You put on this act in order to assimilate into that society, into that culture, that church society, that church culture, and you become something you're not. So when I think of wearing a mask, that's what I think about. I think about the fact that there are so many people in the church who are hurting, whose life situation is not being dealt with. And so they walk around trying to be something they're not, just to fit in.
And that's you also share a lot in wearing a mask and its association with the church. Oh, my gosh, that's a big one. Because most people in the church do wear a mask. And earlier I said it's either a fight or we're going to take flight. You either going to run or you're going to stand still and you're going to fight. And when you fight, you run, you tend to wear a mask because you don't want nobody to see what you're going through. And Erica, I want to like piggyback on something that you were saying earlier, because you didn't want to really let your coworkers know how you felt, but now you found your voice and you tell it like it is, but you're very respectful when you speak to people. And that's something that we all need to learn how to do better, because we all wear a mask. And Sheila, the reason I said I went to Erica and I'm going to come back to you, because with the church, and caller, I do see your hand up. I'm going to get to you in one moment. Thank you so much for your patience. But Apostle Sheila, when we have people in the church that are being mistreated, they lose their voice through the spirit of fear. And fear was one of the character flaws that I presented earlier. And the job of the spirit of fear is to intimidate, to bully, and to intimidate and cause people to back up in fear and not be who they really are. And I'm going to steal your voice. You're not going to speak up because I'm going to make you so afraid that I'm going to beat you up, or I'm going to threaten you, or I'm going to do something to hurt you if you say anything. And so most people, they back up and they act like they're okay, but they're not okay. And then some people don't want to offend. And we must learn how to speak the truth, whether what I say hurts you or not. If I love you, if I'm walking in love, and I'm respectful with my presentation to you, I really don't care if you get hurt or not. Now, I don't want to say that like I'm being facetious, because I'm not. I do care. We're all about love on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, because this is God's network of love. But ultimately, we're all leaders that are on this line tonight. And those of you that are listening, you're leaders too. And you know what? Leaders can't tiptoe through the tulips. We must be honest and we must be truth tellers. And when we tell the truth, sometimes the truth hurts. But it's not going to last long and you're going to feel better. But if you are a leader, especially a leader in a church, and you see a situation where that usher is being mean and nasty to the people that's coming in through the doors, and you don't bring correction to that usher, and you allow that usher to hurt another person, you wearing a mask too. You camouflaging and you concealing a character flaw that could ultimately destroy the church. Because if that mean, nasty, angry usher is treating everybody that come in that way, guess what? People not going to want to come near. They're going to say, oh, no, that's a mean church. Ain't no love in there. So you see, I'm using that as an example, but I use Erica and what Apostle Sheila said, because all of this stuff is intertwined. And we must find our voice and stop being afraid to speak our truth in love. So I'm going to open up the mic to our caller with the last four numbers, 6689. Welcome to the mic. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Miss Linda.
Okay. Boy, I tell you, y'all talking about a whole bunch of good stuff here. And I don't know how to answer some of those questions, or I don't even know how to answer some of the things that I feel and that I have felt. But a mask is something that I have worn. And sometimes I'm still wearing one because I tell you, I feel okay when I don't. And I don't know, do I really need to let you know how I really feel? Is it going to help how I'm feeling? These are questions I ask myself, you know, and it depends on what it is. I don't know. I know when I was in an addiction, I really put on a mask because I was not going to let you know nothing about me. I was who you said I was, and I was the saddest person on the inside because I didn't know who I was. Who am I? I'm not any of these things. And it's not been an easy journey to let go of acceptance of some of those things that I tried to make myself to be. You know, you're not going to run over me. I'm bigger than all of that. No, I'm not. I'm not bigger than all of that. But I have to be able to see myself living and walking and talking in an entirely different way, you know, because I'm no longer in addiction. I'm in Christ, you know. And, Lord, this is how I feel. Now I can go to him. I can go to Jesus, and I can tell him how I'm really feeling. And I can let the tears fall. But I'm not too easily ready to let someone else in there because now I feel vulnerable. That's how I feel. That's how I have felt.
So is it safe to say that your vulnerabilities cause you to wear a mask?
Sure it does. That's not a bragging thing, but yeah, it does. Because that means you can hurt me. I'm allowing your words or your actions to hurt me. Rather than not allowing what you say or do to hurt me. It's been a challenge for me during my lifetime to really find out and to really accept who I am. Okay, I like riding. I'm just using that as an example. Yes, I like riding the bike, but you don't. Okay, see you later. Bye. But I don't always want to ride my bike by myself. But I can. You know, I don't know if I'm making any sense to anyone, but because of a lot of hurts, I don't want you to see those hurts. And if you see them, what are you going to do with them? What am I doing with them? I'm giving them up. I'm letting go of, to the best of my ability, the things that have created hurts in my life from a child up, you know. I can talk about a lot of things, and there are a lot of things that have affected Linda. I can't begin to, I don't even know where to begin to tell you. Fear of this, fear of that. And then all of a sudden, I can't be afraid anymore, you know. Afraid of telling you the truth. Okay, here you go. Because you're going to hurt me and you're going to chastise me and you're going to do this, that, and the other to me because I just told you the truth. Until I tell you what you want to hear, these are things that I have been through. As I go back to my mind and as my spirit, you know, is experiencing some things. It's a lot. I'm going to stop right now because I can really go on and on. And I probably will sound very confusing because I'm all over the page emotionally. Do I really give you my emotions? Do I really let you know that I love you in spite of? Okay, I can love you, but I don't have to allow you to hurt me anymore. And that can come from a lot of different areas in my life. But and feeling less than I'm not going to be loved like I would like to be. And learning how to accept what love isn't and what I would love to be, how I would love to be in love. Not like what I thought, because I walked in that for a lot of years, because it was inside of me. But as I've begun to let go of a lot of things, the falseness of love, the falseness of when you give, but you need to be able to receive too. You know, I need to be able to receive kindness. It's like I don't want to give out kindness. I would like to be able to be understood as I'm learning to understand myself. You know, I keep fighting. I keep fighting. I'm not happy just giving up, you know, just because that people may say, okay, you can't, you this age and you that age, you can't do this and you can't do that. And I'm saying I can do that. But I have to accept where my limitations are and not the limitations that you put on me. And that's the difference. And that's where I'm at right now, you know. Really enjoying different activities. It doesn't mean you have to have a whole lot of money to have pleasure and joy and happiness. But I had a good time the other day, you know. And I enjoyed being, first of all, with myself as well as with the people that I was around. That's not always been the case in my life, you know. And I'm going to stop. You know, I need any feedback and everything I can get, because I'm not willing to leave this earth and not having done the things that God has placed in my heart and my spirit to do and to be. In regards to what you say, and in regards to the way you say it, I'm not. So I'm kind of on eggshells a little bit, because I don't want the Lord to become displeased with my actions, and people are going to be displeased with my actions. I've just come to accept that throughout my lifetime. Now, Lord, help me to be still. And my prayer is just, help me to be the Linda that you created me to be. And the Linda that God has created me to be is not necessarily the Linda that has learned to do many different things. I'm going to leave it at that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, because everything that you said was rich, and you were really thinking, and I believe you was listening to God as you was talking, because you carefully spoke tonight, and you went from addictions, you know, how you felt when you were in your addiction, and I applaud you for even, you know, mentioning that, because when people are in an addiction, that's a whole nother level of mask. And for those of you that have joined us tonight, listen, masks come in layers. There are multiple masks that we wear. And when you are in an addiction, oh, my goodness, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gambling, whether it's stealing, whether it's unforgiveness or bitterness, we tend to talk about the traditional addictions. But what about all of those non-traditional addictions?
Amen.
Which is associated with church hurt. Which is don't tell nobody, secrets in the family. Don't tell nobody, Uncle Johnny been tiptoeing in my room. That's a whole nother mask that we're going to wear. Don't tell nobody. If you tell anybody what I did to you, I'm going to kill you. So then the threat, the intimidation, the fear causes paralysis. You're no longer able to talk because the act of child molestation, being raped, it stole the voice of that person, whether it was a boy or a girl. It stole their power and it stole their authority. So now the mask helps them to live, like you said, in this fantasy where they don't embrace the truth of who they really are. And one of the reasons I chose this topic is because I am sick and tired of what the enemy has done to people all over the world, all different backgrounds, all different beliefs. The enemy has been good with using the things that have hurt us to paralyze us and steal our identity. So I want to give our host an opportunity to respond to Ms. Linda. And Ms. Linda, I'm not going to close your mic up until they finish because I feel like there is something, there's a word for you from the Lord. So Sheila, I'm going to come to you first, Sheila, and then Erica, I'm going to come to you because Sheila, what you tapped into earlier about the church, that opened up a whole nother level of mask.
Yes,
and so one
yes.
of our callers, Leisha Washington, she is on the couch and she spoke earlier, but she wanted you to go in a little deeper with the church situation, her mask, whatever, and I'm going to go there too. But right now, I want to connect the church and wearing a mask with what Ms. Linda said. Because Ms. Linda said, what are you going to, oh, if I take my mask off, first she said she's afraid to take the mask off, right? Because if she really revealed those vulnerabilities, what will you do with my hurt? And that's a Selah moment before I open up your mic. Because there are so many people, Ms. Linda, and I'm taking my time with this because it is real. So many people are vulnerable in the house of God, where they should be able to get butt naked. And I'm not talking about physical naked, but to be so transparent and open before God that they don't care about what people say or what people think. But because the church is jacked up from the floor up and operate in the spirit of falsehood, deception, and specialize in hurting people versus helping people, you know, we have a whole group of people that have been misrepresented by God, that have walked away from God, and they are wearing a mask, and that mask is saying, don't talk to me about no God. I don't want to hear about God. God did this. God did that. And God didn't do anything to them. So the mistreatment of other people caused people to wear a mask of frustration, irritation, and distrust. I no longer trust God because this happened to me at this church. I revealed myself. I showed my vulnerabilities. I took off my mask, and I was mistreated. And Apostle Sheila, the mic is yours.
I thank you. There's a couple of points that I'd like to touch on. The guest caller spoke about vulnerability, and vulnerability is a real thing. Vulnerability to me is the fear of revealing myself for fear of rejection.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so the church has not managed to put people at ease in taking off their mask because if they did, more people would come clean. And the Word of God tells us that that Christ gave his life that we might have the right to eternal life. and that he loves, he gave his life because he loved us. Now, his love is an unconditional love, but people in the body of Christ don't necessarily have that unconditional love. And when you have people coming into church, people who are lost or who have issues, challenges, real life issues and challenges. I'm not just talking about what hat to wear or what suit to wear or what shoes to wear with my suit. I'm talking about I don't have money to feed my children. I have an addiction, or I'm losing my house or my job. And so people come into the church with those real life challenges. But like I said, they feel like they have to hide their challenge for fear of rejection when removing the mask that helps them to assimilate into the culture. It's just it's another form of social rejection, but it happens to happen in a church setting. And so what needs to happen is the church needs to take its mask off and be real and let from the pulpit to the door, let people know that everybody has challenges, because sometimes you come into a church setting and you feel like nobody else has these problems but me. I must be the only one, because they're walking around here, praise the Lord, and I'm blessed and highly favored, and thank you, Jesus, and all of that. But nobody seems to have any issues but me. And so the church needs to come real. God, the word of God tells us that nothing is impossible with God. So I need to bring my impossibility to a possible God. But I need to go through the people who are around me. I need the people around me that they're doing the same thing. They're bringing their impossibilities to a God that says nothing is impossible to me. And so once we see that we're all the same, then people can start feeling comfortable enough to take their masks off. I remember a couple of years ago, I wrote an article, and in this article, I shared about how I was molested as a young child, and I got a lot of negative feedback from people in the church, because sometimes people don't want to talk about, like you said, Stacy, the issues that are going on behind closed doors, because you know, in African-American households, it's what goes on in my house stays in my house. But that's another form of masking. That's another form of, that's a form of bondage.
Yes, it is.
Because until you open the doors, you're never going to get help. You can't get help, and you can't receive help, and you can't give anybody help until you open the door and let light in. And so what we need to do in the body of Christ, what we need to do in the church, is simply be real. It's not about your hat. It's not about your suit. It's not about your shoes, but it's about your heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at our hearts. So you can wear your mask all day long, but God still sees what's in your heart.
That's right. That's right.
Stacey. Hello, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Erica, go ahead.
Okay. You said, Apostle Shilly, you said a mouthful. Let me tell you something. When you talk about, you know, I did not grow up in church. My family, my maternal side of the family, mostly are Jehovah's Witnesses. My paternal side of the family were evangelists, or are evangelists. The two leaders of the two, the matriarch and the patriarch on the paternal side, they were killed years ago. And so I never experienced, you know, going to church on a regular basis. I know my paternal grandparents, they were in there sun up and sundown every Sunday. They were in the church. They were very devout Christians. And so I don't have like the history of, you know, how people act in church and, you know, all this stuff. Now I've inside the church now. I've seen some, you know, Christians outside of the church and how they behave and stuff like that, but I've never had like the experience on a regular basis inside, you know, inside of the church. But what I do know, I did have experience that was not a good experience. And it's sad because this was a family member of mine. And I happened to be at an event where this family member and another person attended the same church. And so when I was talking to the person, they asked, well, do you go to such and such? I'm not going to name the church, but do you go to such and such church? And I said, no, I don't go to that church. Well, you thought that I had just cursed them out. That person looked at me like I was not worthy to even be standing in front of her. And the family member that's standing next to this person looked at me the same way. And I said, and I was, at the time, I was looking to find, you know, a church to go to, you know, just to see what the experience is, to see what it's like. Just find a nice, small, quiet, you know, church, because that's my personality. I'm an introvert. I like intimacy. I like quiet, so I like small groups and things of that nature. And so, well, that interaction sent me down, sent me right on back to my house, and I said, see, this is why I don't want to go to no church. And that's exactly what I said. And I was in the process of, well, God was in the process of working on me. I was building that relationship. And it just sent me right on back. And I said, you know what, I'm going back here, watch YouTube, and look at these pastors. I said, this is why I don't want to go. I said, because of that interaction right there. So I can kind of relate. Not, you know, I don't have the years of experience, but I can relate to how some people may feel when they go and they go into a church and they get ready to tell, you know, this person what they're going through. So if I got that based on the fact that I didn't go to a specific church, I can only imagine how someone feels or someone's treated when they start to speak up about what's going on in their life. That's not good. That's not a good experience at all for someone who is not going to your church or a church at all, and this is what they get from somebody who is supposed to be a Christian. They call themselves a Christian. So out here, I don't blame people. I can't blame people at all for not wanting to, for just sticking back and saying, you know what, I'll take this religion over here. I'll take this one. I'm not saying it's right, but I can understand it. So can you imagine just from that, if people go to speak their truth and go to tell somebody about what's going on in their life, the fear that rises up in them based on, you know, what they say. And I mean, because people, and you got to think about it, even outside of the church, you have very judgmental people out here. Even the ones you don't know, whether they're Christian or not, whether they go to church or not, you have very judgmental people out here who base their lives on superficial things. So if you're not doing this, that, or the other, then they look at you a certain way. Our society is just bogged down with materialism, popularity. You got to go to a certain church. The church got to be a mega church, and they got to have 21 screens. So, you know, you can watch the show that they put on, you know, every Sunday or whatever have you. So if you don't belong to this type of church, something is wrong with you or whatever have you. And it's just it's a hot mess. And so I can believe it when someone can go to church and just put their mask on and say, you know what, I won't be saying nothing, because what they're doing is they're looking at how the people in the church treat everybody else. So they're looking at that, and they're saying, well, now she just sat up here in the office with such and such who was supposed to be counseling her, and now her business is all around the church. So why in the world would I sit here and tell anybody in here my business? Because they don't know how to handle it. And I've heard that happen. Like I said, I didn't experience. I've heard that that had happened, though. You know, so, I mean, because see, talk gets out, word gets out. So I can't blame that. And when Ms. Linda spoke about what will you do with my hurt, see, that's the thing. When you go in a church, like Apostle Sheila said, when you go in there, you're supposed to be able to bear your soul. You are supposed to be able to talk about this stuff. But you just don't know. And you have to pick and choose. And that's a shame, but you do have to pick and choose. You got to ask God, who can I talk to about this? Who can help me? Because everybody that's inside of the building is not ready to receive the information to help. They're not equipped. They're just not mature enough. They haven't gotten there yet. And it's, and the thing about it is, it's not that they're purposely doing it. Sometimes people are just not mature enough in God to know what it is or how they're supposed to handle a situation. So you can't, under any circumstance, and it's a shame, but you really can't just go in and just start. Right? And that's why a lot of people are putting that mask on and holding that information, because people just have gas and they don't know how exercise, you know, and running their mouth. Folks like to gossip because, number one, it makes them feel better about their situation. So a lot of people do it because, you know, oh, well, I ain't got nothing going on compared to what she got going on, so let me talk about this. And it's also about self, and that's self-preservation. So you got somebody who's wearing a mask to preserve themselves, to hide their stuff, but they're going to go and talk about somebody else. So it's a lot of stuff that's going on, you know, and like I said, and maybe, you know, I don't know if God helped me back from going in, you know, to the four walls of a church for a reason, so I could see from the outside and maybe give a different perspective on what's going on. And even I've gone in churches and I'm told, well, don't get involved in politics. You know, or just, you know, and I'm like, that's sad. You should be able to go in and have any place or any position in a church and not have to worry about being, you know, just not being yourself and being able to be in there in a certain position and everything go okay. But it's rough. Because like I said, if I could stand there with a family member who looked at me like that and treated me like this, and then I can only imagine. And that's far worse, when somebody that's a part of your bloodline treats you like you are not worth standing next to them because you don't go to their church. I know how it feels, and it's no joke.
Thank you so much, Erica. That was really profound, and that was a great truth that you just exposed. And this is why you had difficulties with your phone. And this is why you had static on your line. Everybody that's listening to us, the enemy hates the word that is coming forth because we're exposing the works of the enemy. The majority of people that are in the church, and especially if it's a church where your grandma brought that stained window, your grandpapa brought that pew, you better not sit in that pew because it's for the family. Like, I don't care what you purchase in that church. Nothing in there belongs to you. But we have tradition and man-made soul ties that are more important than God's word in the house of God. And that is not good at all. And family will come against you when you stand up for what is right in the church. And that's a whole nother topic. But I want to, many of you hear me say that I'm affectionately known as the pastor of poetry, but I want to share one of my personal poems that will complement what Apostle Sheila just shared, what Life Coach Erica just shared, and what Miss Linda elaborated on as she was sharing her own testimony. So I want you to listen carefully to the lyrics of this poem, the words of this poem, and then I'm going to share a scripture to support everything that we're saying. Because one of the this topic is, it's going to be several topics following this, dealing with the mask. One of the reasons when I, okay, let me just do this. The title is, what is the purpose of your mask? So that was personal. Now, because of what Linda brought to the table and her question, for those that you that may be just tuning in, but she said, because of my vulnerabilities, what will you do with my hurt? So then I asked Apostle Sheila to go in a little deeper with that, and she did. And she exposed some of the areas in the church where the church need to take off the mask. And then Erica came, and she gave us an example. So now I'm getting ready to expose the operations of the devil, the spirit of robbery, and the spirit of elitism that is operating in the church that needs to be stripped of their mask and of every false title that they're holding. Because we have a whole group of people that are submitting to the leadership and authority of a false prophet, a false shepherd, a false apostle, a false evangelist, and a false teacher. And guess what? When that happens, you come under a spirit of error. You're no longer operating in the spirit of truth because you're following an unrighteous man or woman of God that is operating in the spirit of falsehood. And that is a topic for another day that I will make sure I will make a note. But this poem, manipulation, undercover exploitations, deceitful corruptions, utilizations and mistreatments of witches, warlocks and wizards, falsehood everywhere, looking for God. Nope, he is not here. God doesn't condone these demonic operations of false shepherds, prophets, apostles, evangelists, and teachers, and all of the undercover reapers, dead walkers sleeping, working for Satan, eating his poison bacon, regurgitating lies on top of lies, falling deeper into the church steeple, strong deception, specializing in falsifications, misapplications of God's word, teaching sheep how to misappropriate God's word, teaching them how to twerk on the church floor like it was a disco. God is about to let you know that you, Jezebel, Athaliah, and Leviathan, it's time for you to go. And I wrote this poem back July 23rd, 2018. And it is prevalent today. And the scripture that I used for that was Isaiah 27 and verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. So there's no way I can share that and not expose the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel is one of the main spirits operating in the body of Christ, up in the churches, wearing a mask of deception, fooling a whole lot of people. But the spirit of Jezebel is the forerunner for the spirit of Leviathan. And both of them are preparing the way for the Antichrist. So many people get attacked in the church. Everything that Linda said, everything Apostle Sheila said, and the wonderful example that Erica shared, it initiated and started with the spirit of Jezebel. Now, the spirit of Jezebel can operate in the male or female. Remember I was talking about what are some of our character flaws? Well, some of the character flaws in the spirit of Jezebel is jealousy, is envy, is strife, is covetousness. The spirit of Jezebel works closely with the spirit of robbery because she takes what doesn't belong to her. But that spirit comes into the church and it discredits the true prophet of God. And hurts that person so bad and talks about them so bad that the church no longer believes that this is really a true man or woman of God. And the spirit of Jezebel wiggles her way under leadership and getting real good with them. And even the leader of the church, the pastor, will turn against the true prophet of God. And it's all a part of divination and demonic manipulation. And at some point, we have to present the question, where is our discernment? Where are the revelatory gifts that reveal what is going on? So then we have to talk about the watchers in the church. Leisha, I hope that you're listening because we're talking about church hurt. So I'm going a little bit deeper underneath the surface because Jeremiah, the first chapter in verse 10, it talks about how God gave us, you know, power to uproot and to pull down. So right now we uprooting some really good information that is exposing the operations of the enemy, because the biggest enemy in our lives is the false prophets. They wear masks to camouflage, to hide, to cover up who they really are. And the majority of them are perpetrating frauds. They're not who they say they are. And then we have all of these people that is looking for a prophetic word, and they're running after a false prophet that is getting their word from the devil, but it looks enticing, it sounds good, they're deceptive, and they think it's coming from God. But listen, they twist that word up so good that it appears to be God's word. But something in the mixture of their words will let your spirit know something is off here. And you feel uncomfortable in your spirit. And Apostle Sheila can elaborate on that. But the moment we ignore that feeling that something is uneasy, something is not sitting right with me. And what that is the power of the Holy Ghost letting you know, don't receive that word in your spirit. Because if you come into agreement with that word, unknowingly, you're going to put a mask on. And that mask now is going to cause you to see everything that is false, everything that is negative. You're going to start seeing that as positive. And so positive people are now, when you look at them, they're going to be negative, because the negative people in that spirit of error that you came into agreement with, it's going to bad talk all of the good people in your life. And the purpose is to separate you from the true men and women of God so that you will not grow in the word. You will not grow in your prayers. You will not grow in your praise and worship. The devil wants to steal your voice so that he can kill you and destroy you and ultimately take your destiny away from you. So what is the purpose of your mass tonight? For those of you that are listening and you know you operating in the spirit of falsehood, well, let me tell you something. God is about to remove the mask and he is about to expose you and everything that you've been doing to God's people. So if you landed on this channel tonight, if you tuned into this broadcast tonight and you know you've been wearing the mask of deception, tonight has been designed specifically for you. And I want to introduce you to 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's really quite simple. Humble yourself and repent. Turn away from everything that you've been doing. Ask God to forgive you. He will forgive you. Ask some of these people you done hurt and you deceived, you misled, you manipulated, you raped spiritually, you raped financially. You stole their voice. You stole their power. You broke up their marriage. You tore up their church. I could go on and on. And all of this is associated with a mask. So be very careful if you're listening tonight, because a mask can be very dangerous. A mask can take you into the twilight zone, and it will make you forget who you are. But we're here tonight at this roundtable discussion to expose the works of the enemy so that we can glorify God. So everybody that has been affected by a lion mask, a lion person, guess what? Tonight is a night of healing and deliverance. So the next thing I'm going to say is, Linda, your question, what will you do with my hurt? People, please listen carefully. You cannot share your vulnerabilities with everybody. And the word does tell us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But you have to ask God, who can you share with? Now, I can share with Apostle Sheila. I can share with Erica. I can't share with everybody because everybody don't have my best interest at heart. I can share with Leisha, you know. And these are people that I know are praying for me. But because in my ignorance, when I thought I was safe, I shared a little bit too much, just like Joseph did. And so they threw me in the pit. They sold me into slavery. They threw me in prison because I refused to be prostituted. And so all of these processes that I went through, God was teaching me what not to do. Stacey, all of these things happened to you. Yes, they hurt you. You shared. You got vulnerable. You even shared your testimony, and they talked about you like a dog. They criticized you. They condemned you. They ostracized you, and you didn't understand the hurt and the pain. And daughter, I know at times you even pulled away from me, and you wouldn't let me inside, and I was patiently waiting for you. And Stacy, when you made up your mind that you could really trust me again, that's when I began to remove the scales from your eyes. And so I'm saying it that way because somebody tonight, you need to understand that all of the hell that you went through, all of the mistreatment, all of the traumas, all of the tragedies, all of the mistreatment, all of the abuse, it wasn't even about you. God wanted to perfect those things concerning you. And so he is going to take everything that you learned, and he is going to use it for his glory. And I'm here tonight on this radio network because I didn't walk away from God and stay away from him. And I have to say that, and stay away from him. Because I did walk away from God, and I shut down, And I said, I'm going to be happy wearing this mask. I could be myself. I don't have to pray for nobody. I don't have to be fake and phony with these church people, because church people is the worst hurt ever. And I was done with church. I didn't want to go back to church. But you know what? When I took that mask off and God started showing me who I was, I don't care about the church. I know what my assignment is in the church. And that's to root out, to pull down, to tear down, to destroy, so that to unplant, so that we could build. And most prophets today are really under the gun. They're under attack because they come with a rod of correction, and they tearing down and they exposing all of the falsehoods in the church. The pastor sleeping with the women in the church, impregnating everybody, but wearing a mask, acting like he's holier than thou. God is not pleased with that. So God has sent a prophet in the house, and maybe he'll expose it openly, or maybe he'll expose it quietly and give that pastor an opportunity to redeem himself, to repent and say that he's sorry. But if he choose to display the character flaws and operate in the spirit of haughtiness, which is another mask, arrogance, which is another mask, conceit in the spirit of elitism and pride, more mask. So he doesn't humble himself, so eventually judgment comes. So judgment comes, the pastor gets sat down, he may die, he may get put out the church, then the church is divided because half of the people that was following behind a false prophet, now they supporting him to the end, and the righteous people against the unrighteous, and it's all because somebody chose to wear a mask and deceive people. So if you don't learn anything tonight, please take off your mask. If you are wearing a mask, be true to yourself. Be true to God. And you don't have to do it publicly. You do it privately with God. Nobody has to know why you had a mask on or what you was covering up or what you was concealing. Make sure your heart is right. David said in Psalms 51 and verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, renewing me a right spirit. And you know why he said, creating me a right spirit? David knew he was operating in a wrong spirit. David knew he was wrong for sleeping with Bathsheba. David knew he was wrong for putting Uriah on the front line. That's a whole nother mask. Can we really get strategic tonight? David was a great military leader, but he operated in a spirit of falsehood when he closed his eyes and act like he didn't know that Uriah was going to get killed. Now pay attention. He knew he was going to die because he put him in the hottest part of the fire. But his men, his mighty men of valor, they was clueless about what David did. So do you think David, that God was really pleased with David? So I'm sharing all of these examples because from the greatest to the littlest, leadership or not in leadership, the Bible is full of examples of how people wear a mask to cover up and conceal what they're doing. And then we have a mask that's, I'm going to say, a hypocritical mask, because you want to expose everybody else and tell what they're doing, but you don't want to expose yourself.
Come on.
Well, Pastor, Sister so-and-so said that such-and-such was doing this, and so your pastor is looking at you like, I don't even want to hear what you're saying, because if you coming in here with this gossip and you're talking about everybody else, why don't you tell me what you did? Not knowing that God already showed the pastor where this person was at last night. And in case you didn't know, your pastor got a right to know where your legs is at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
So if you think your pastor, and I'm not saying God is revealing all of this stuff. No, that's not what I'm saying. But God is a revealer, and he revealed things. Our pastors must give an account for us.
That's right.
Each individual person. They cannot say they are a pastor and they don't know what's going on in your life. Because when God comes to them and say, what is going on with Linda? Linda said she was feeling vulnerable and she made a decision to take off her mask and you hurt her. What did you do to my sheep? Whoa, whoa, whoa! To the pastors that scattered my sheep. So please don't get mad when you know that the pastor is out of order. It's not your place to correct the pastor. God will do it. Now, he may raise you up to say something that's different, but don't correct the pastor. Whoa, whoa, whoa,
Amen.
Jeremiah 23. All of these pastors that's been hurting people, wearing a mask, their time is coming. And there's going to be a showdown. And all of the false prophets against the true prophets of God. And I'm telling you, it's going to be an apostolic and prophetic move that this world has never seen before. And Apostle Sheila, I'm going to ask you to take over, please.
Thank you. Such relevant comment. I appreciate what the caller has said on tonight again and how it's brought to light a lot of concerns, a lot of challenges, and a lot of issues in the church. Now, we've talked a lot about the church, but we need to bring this thing full circle and bring it back to God, because God is a loving God.
Yes.
He is a healing God. He is a protecting God. And so the Word of God tells us that a bruised reed he will not break, meaning when we come to God bruised and broken by the challenges and the concerns of the world, our circumstances and our situation, he will not inflict more hurt and more pain upon you. We, at that point, we have the opportunity to lay before a God who is loving, who is kind, who is healing, and want to heal us. I was looking at a scripture earlier, and it was Luke 8 and 17, and it says, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. So you see, even as we wear our masks, even as we try to cover ourselves up, God in his infinite wisdom and his desire to see us be made whole is lovingly trying to help us to feel secure enough to remove our masks so we can get healed. The woman with the issue of blood had tried to get healed for 12 long years. She was hidden away. She was not able to go outside because of her issue with bleeding, because she was considered unclean in that day. But she heard that Jesus had the ability to heal. So she took a chance of exposing her vulnerability in order to get her healing. And that's what we have to do. We have to take a chance.
Yeah.
Not necessarily on people, but we have to take a chance to trust God in order to get our healing, just like that woman did. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I don't know about you all, but I'm excited, and I feel the presence of God, and I'm very, very pleased with the direction of this discussion tonight. And caller, with the last four numbers, 1906, I'm going to open your mic in one moment. I want to say something, and I'm going to ask you guys to really pray for me. when I asked Apostle Sheila to take over, it's because I knew that God had something for her to say. And like, when you start flowing together like we do, we just understand each other. But as she began to talk, I was feeling a heaviness, like, on my chest. So everything that I was sharing, it was the Holy Spirit speaking through me, okay? So the enemy, and I'm not glorifying the devil, but the enemy doesn't want this type of word coming forth. So the devil got punked tonight. So the heaviness is an attempt to make me shut up and say I'm not going to say anything else tonight. But I'm going to continue to do what I do because I love God and I love his people. So please don't just pray for me, but continue to pray for Erica Burnett and continue to pray for Sheila A. Olive, Apostle Sheila, because we need your prayers. Friday after Friday, we come to this line and we pour out our hearts to you all. And we share the true, unadulterated word of God. We don't mix our words. But behind the scenes, you guys don't know what we go through. And you don't know the level of warfare that we deal with. So please be mindful that we need prayers too. And God bless you all so much for praying for us. And we don't just pray for you all on Fridays, but we are praying for everyone that comes to this broadcast. So we love you and we thank you so much for your support. But also stay alert, watch and pray, and put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. And this is a warning for somebody in your family. Everything that Erica shared earlier, your test is coming, and somebody in your family is going to challenge you and they're going to come up against you. But God is saying, Psalms 37 and verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. I don't care if it's your mother or your father. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, but they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. So that's a promise from God. So when this attack happens, don't open your mouth. Don't defend yourself. This battle is not yours. Let God fight it for you. Amen. So caller, last number is 1906. Your mic is open. Welcome to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. This is Jacqueline. Praise God. I'm on the road, and I'm listening to the call, and it's going in and out, in and out. But I did hear some of it, and I'm loving it. You know, wearing a mask takes too much energy. You know, it takes too much energy to just continue to put on that mask. You know, when the word of God says, cast your cares upon the Lord, and to get rid of those weights, the weight of sin, of the weight of just trying to be someone or something that you're not, you know, pretending. It just takes too much effort, you know, to do that. And when God sets us free, he said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that's his word. I mean, once those weights come off of us, we feel the freedom. We feel the liberty. We feel the Spirit of God moving in us in a way that we really can't explain. But this is an awesome radio broadcast. And unfortunately, you know, I'm in Louisiana and the call is going in and out. But I just want you guys to know that I'm here and I'm praying for you guys. And I'm so thankful for this call. So God bless everybody.
God bless you, too. And I, you know, Jacqueline, you have so much to say. And you are a gift to the body of Christ. And, I mean, I don't know you other than you speaking up on this broadcast. But I want to make sure that you get my information through Apostle Sheila. And I want to connect with you because I want to give you an invitation, a platform to bring forth the word on the radio, because I believe God has something to say through you. So God bless you, and we pray for traveling mercies while you're on the highway. Amen. And may giant war angels, I mean, they already encamped around you, so we just celebrate God.
Amen.
For a safe
Amen.
Arrival, and that he will use
Amen.
You wherever you're going, whether it's, you know, whatever your assignment is. But there's always a word for the Lord. But may he season your words, and may there be a word of comfort for someone that you're going to come in contact with. In Jesus'
Amen.
Name. So, Apostle Amen. Sheila, you can respond to Jackie. Then, Erica, you can respond to Jackie. And then I'm going to bring Leisha Washington. I'm going to open up her mic, and we're going to go in that order.
I think Jacqueline always has insightful information to share, and I agree with her. This platform affords us the opportunity to share information that is not necessarily shared in a more formal setting. And so it allows us also the opportunity to deal with real life issues. And so it is a place of healing. It is a place, it's like the altar. This is the altar. This is a real life altar, where we come and we bring our sins, and we understand that he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're dealing with the real deal, holy deal, here tonight. We've all taken our masks off. Stacy, Erica, and I have had to remove our masks in order to be on this radio show, in order to be vulnerable enough to share our experiences, to allow Christ to be seen through us so that people can come and find healing and find deliverance. So I appreciate Stacy for allowing us the opportunity to be on the platform. And I thank you again, Jackie, for always your unwavering support and always having something insightful to say.
Amen. Miss Erica.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Jackie, thank you so much, Miss Jacqueline. I so appreciate, and all of us appreciate, your words of encouragement, because we definitely need them, and we welcome all of it. And I agree with everything you said. I agree with Apostle Sheila in that this is a platform for healing, and we are thankful to God for bringing Stacy to us to have us use her platform in order to share, you know, our testimonies, our stories, and the tools necessary to hopefully help those in need. Because it's definitely needed. Because nowadays there's a lot of pacification going on. I don't believe in pacifying people. And I have been told before that I can be harsh, and I don't mean to be harsh, but when you see someone who is struggling and you know there's a way out, you know they have other options, that they don't have to sit and stew in what they're stewing in. I don't believe in sitting there and telling them, oh, well, you know, you just everything will be all right. And, yeah, it's going to be all right if you do the work. That's what I believe in telling them. I believe in telling them you're going to have to get up off your rump roost, and you are going to have to go to your Father in heaven, and you're going to have to do what he asks you to do what he tells you to do, because he knows best. that's the only way you're going to find peace. That's the only way you're going to come up out of whatever it is you're in. And he sends people out for that specific purpose so he can speak through them. So when someone is giving you some sound advice, you got to listen. We got to learn how to listen, and we got to do the work, period. We're not here to pacify anybody. We are here to tell you the truth so you can get up out of this hole that you're in and know that there is a better place for you on the other side. And that's all we want for people. So we thank you, Ms. Jacqueline. We really do, for your encouragement. Like I said, we need it. And we're thankful to Stacy. And I'm thankful for all of you ladies on this line because I learned so much. And I'm a person who is always open to learning, looking to learn, to get some wisdom from everyone. You know, where nobody's above learning. So I appreciate everybody on this line. Thank you.
Amen. You ladies are really, really, like, hitting hard tonight. I love it. And, Leisha, I'm going to open your mic in one moment. Erica, when you just said, but you have to do the work, Holy Spirit highlighted Colossians, the third chapter. And it says, beginning at the first verse, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So right here, I want to release a revelation in God's word. It says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So right here it says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Now right here, verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. So we're all new creatures. If any man be risen with Christ, if we are risen with Christ, guess what? We got to put off all of that stuff. That's doing the work. God is not going to put it off for us. God is not going to do what he empowered us to do. And I want you to just look at all of that. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Look at all of that as a mask. And the deep thing here, the first thing was fornication, uncleanness, and inordinate affection. Why is fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection listed first? Why do people fornicate? Most people fornicate because they were touched when they were young. They were raped. They was molested. They were sodomized. Something happened that opened up that door way before time. So remember I said we want to think outside of the box? So the fornication was a mask that they wore because that's all they knew. The violation, the trauma, the crisis, it opened up their body. It woke their body up too soon. And if you have been molested, then you know what I'm talking about. Fornication was a mask. That unclean spirit, it was a mask because the devil wanted you to think that what you did or what happened to you was dirty. You're dirty, dirty, dirty. God can never use you. God is never going to forgive you. Do you see what you did? Do you know what happened to you? Listen, the lies of the enemy. So I'm going to stop there, but believe me, we're going to come back and visit this because, Erica, we have to do the work. You always say that on every show. Apostle Sheila, she say, we have to do the work straight from the gate. Like, we could talk about all of these topics Friday after Friday, but dig this. If we don't do the work, we are sounding brass. We are tinkling cymbals. If we love God, we're going to obey his commandments. And listen, if you got to obey him crawling to the cross, then you go on and you get your crawl on. This is a no condemnation zone, and we don't fault anybody. Whatever your struggle is, it is real, and we recognize that, but just do the work. If you need help, reach out so we could pray with you. If it's a kind that only could come out through fasting and prayer, reach out. We'll turn down our plates with you, for you, because we're serious about this, but God wants us to do the work. Because we're wearing all of these hidden masks, all of these secret masks that we don't even know was there. And God just revealed all of that when she said, do the works. So more than anything, we have to get into the word, because that is the prophetic word. He just gave instructions. He said, if ye then be risen with Christ, that's information. But then he said, set your affection on things above. That's prophetic instructions from God. So you don't need to run to a man or a woman to get a prophetic word. Read his word. He is the prophetic word. So, hallelujah. Any comments before I go to Leisha Washington? Okay, Alicia, I'm opening up your mic right now. Alicia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So, in the masking, we mask because we're hurt.
True.
But sometimes God will leave the mask on because the mask is for protection. Because when you are in the enemy's camp and he has to hide you, they don't know who you really are. So that's the reason why sometimes the masking is necessary. But then when he exposes it, we have to be able to, just like the sister said, you have to show up. And you have to show up and actually do the work. And in doing the work, that is the true exposure, because it will expose everything that we try to keep covered. And the word says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything. So there's timing. God's timing is important, and his timing matters. So it doesn't matter, and I'm not saying this because I don't have any empathy. It doesn't matter about the biological clock. God is looking at, are you ready to handle? Are you spiritually mature to handle it? Can you take the mask off and keep it off for this season, for this time, permanently? Because a lot of times when you do experience hurt, trauma, trial, grief, you get comfortable in your mask. You do. It's very easy to do because you're portraying to be something that you're not. And until you spiritually get inclined and to that exposure and to that level of magnitude, then you're going to keep putting your mask on. But when you are really, really sick and tired of being masked and seen with your mask on, then you will
then you will have no problem doing the work. You won't have no problem getting on a prayer line. You won't have no problem confessing what you've been through, what you've experienced. Because that's what all of this is. It's everything. Life is all about what everybody else has experienced. And if you haven't experienced it, then just live a little bit longer. Like our parents used to tell us, if you ain't experienced that yet, then just live a little bit longer. But when we get into the word, that's what helps heal us. And once you heal, it don't matter where you go, because you don't never have to put that mask back on. Once you experience it, some people, it takes a couple times. Some people, it takes one time. Once you experience it one time, you're like, got that. I can wear a T-shirt about it. I can write a book about it. But I do not have to experience that anymore. So guess what? That's one mask out of many that I don't have to wear again. Unless I choose to. That's my choice. That's my choice. So the God does the exposure, but the choice is ours, whether we choose to put it back on or keep it off and walk in the freedom and walk by faith like God tells us to and walk without having to be covered up. That takes practice. You have to apply it every day. When you don't feel like, when you feel like grabbing for your mask, you're like, well, God is like, nope, I'm going to expose you, so you're going to be naked today. Okay. And in doing that, you're going to encounter people who have experienced what you've experienced. And you're able to relate. Now you're able to pray. Now you're able to connect. I'm experiencing, I don't always have to go to a church because God put the church in my heart. I can be the church. So I can get on, open up a Zoom line, and wait to see who needs help, who needs it. That's what my exposure, and that's what me putting down my mask has done. It has helped me. It has protected me. Now that I can take it off, now, I, too, can heal somebody else. I can help you. I'm not doing the healing. God is doing the healing. So I'm reverting you back to that word. What did God say? Okay, yes, the church may have done you wrong. Yes, this may have happened. Yes, you may be going through divorce and financial burdens, whatever it is that life has thrown at you. But what does the word say? Because God has not forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. And his promise still stands on what he told you about you. There's still time for that.
All right.
There's still time for that.
Wow. Leisha, thank you so much for sharing that. And you just right, would say, straight out the gate. When I tell you, when you said sometimes God will have you in hiding, I believe it. That stuck out to me so much. I believe it. And the story that, you know, touches me was David, the little old shepherd boy with the sheep. And nobody
knew
who.
Nobody knew who he was. Nobody knew that he was qualified for the calling. They kept overlooking him. Go get your other son. Go get your, you talking about the shepherd boy? No, go back and get your other, go get your other son.
Ain't that something?
Overlooking.
Overlooking. Like,
and guess what? You had to, you kept overlooking to come back.
Ain't that
the one? You were speaking to the one.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you were speaking to the one to tell you to go get the other one to come back to find out he was the one in the first place.
Ain't that something?
So a lot of times, thank you, Holy Spirit, when God takes your mask off and other people are running around like, oh, I need a coach. Oh, I need somebody to pray for me. Oh, I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. And God is just like, do it.
You the one. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
You experienced that. Say something. You went through that. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Call. Write it.
Mm-hmm.
Speak it. Kill it. We got the power to do it. It's just sometimes we're afraid of coming up against that giant.
Mm-hmm.
Like Goliath. It's just like, okay, I only got one shot. In our mind, sometimes we're thinking like, okay, what if I miss? What if I fall short? You done already fell short. God knew that you was going, God knew that you wasn't going to aim right in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
But he still called you. It's a reason why he called you. It's a reason why he's exposing you. Because he knows what he put in you. And once you are able to handle the pressure, it's all in popping for me. Because guess what? You ain't going to never feel the pressure like that. You never going to feel the pressure like that. So guess what? The enemy can't keep robbing us of it's nothing new. It's always old stuff. He just likes to dress it up like it's new. It ain't. It's nothing new. When we're in tune with the Holy Spirit, it says in the Word, "I'll make the old things new."
Wonderful.
So yeah, we gotta have the, we have to be equipped with the tools that we need to keep the mask off. It's cool when you take it off, but we got to be spiritually mature and equipped to keep them off.
Mm-hmm. When
and our vulnerability and our transparency and us standing as living testimonies will help others keep their masks off.
When Adam and Eve were in the garden and God came down in the cool of the day, he came down seeking after them. But because sin had entered the camp, they were hidden, camouflaged, masked because of sin. And God called out to them and said, "Where are you?" And it's not that God couldn't see them because of the mask, because they were camouflaged, because they decided to take leaves and sew them together and hide themselves. What happens when we camouflage ourselves, we become spiritually separated from God because we've allowed that sin, we've allowed that situation, we've allowed that circumstance to stand between us and God. And we oftentimes we wear that situation as our mask, and the mask becomes a part of us. So you become more like your vulnerability than you do like God. But the reason why God was calling out to Adam and Eve, because he wanted to remind them who they were. He was calling out to them according to their original design. God doesn't want us walking around unhealed. He doesn't want us walking around hiding ourselves, because if we're hiding ourselves, he can see us, but oftentimes we can't see him. Because we're looking through our pain. We're looking through our hurt. We're even speaking through our hurt and speaking through our pain. But tonight is the night that God is asking you, you, and you, will you trust him enough and
to become vulnerable enough to take your mask off and allow him to heal you, allow him to deliver you, allow him to deal with the wounds that you suffered in the church house, in your family's house, or even in somebody else's house. Will you be willing, like he asked the man at the pool of Bethesda, will you be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Do you want to take your mask off? Or do you want to walk around with your mask on? Do you want to walk around still with your hurt, still with your pain, still with the challenges of the circumstances and the situation that are coming against you? Because you don't have to. The Holy Spirit is here tonight to heal you. The Holy Spirit is here tonight to minister to your pain. Will you be made whole? We're coming to the conclusion of our broadcast tonight, but God wants to deliver you. God wants to heal you. And I'm going to pray a prayer right now. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We bless your name on tonight. We thank you for those who have tuned in on tonight. Father, for those who have come, some have come not even knowing why they've come. They've come because they were interested in the title of the broadcast tonight, but not knowing that it was you that were drawing them. It was you that were drawing them. It was you that were calling them out. It was you, just like you called out to Adam and Eve and said, "Where are you?" Because you're calling them back to fellowship, not to a church, but to you. You're calling them to the altar on tonight. And you're saying, will you be made whole? Because the water is stirred on tonight. So, Father, we pour out the healing balm of Gilead on tonight. We pour out the oil of the Holy Spirit on tonight, on those who are broken, those who are wounded, those who need healing, those who need deliverance. And we ask that you heal their wounds, heal their hurts, the pains, the experiences, the traumas of their past that have caused them to mask themselves, camouflage themselves, separate themselves from society. In Jesus' name, Father, call them back to you on tonight. Lead them beside the still waters and restore their souls on tonight. Restore their minds. Give them peace of mind. Give them peace of heart. We come against anxiety. We come against frustration. We come against fear right now in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus on tonight over your people. Even those who are on the line who are lost, Father, we pray, God, that they would come to know you as their personal Savior in the name of Jesus. And that they would cultivate a relationship with you and trust you as their healer. Father, we thank you for the host and the co-host of this show on tonight. We thank you, God, that healing has come tonight to your people. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 And we seal that prayer with the blood and fire of God. And I decree in Jesus' name, that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. And everyone that was in agreement with Apostle Sheila, as the Holy Spirit prayed that powerful prayer through her, it is done. And who has a testimony tonight before we get off the air? If anyone have a question, if anything Apostle Sheila said stood out to you, then this is your time to speak up before we go. And we're already in overtime. We never rush. And if anyone has anything to say, please press 1 on your phone. And if your mic is already open, then this is your opportunity to share from your heart, because God really moved tonight. And we do have the caller 0919. Your mic is open. Good evening. Caller, are you there? Caller with the last 4 numbers, 0919, did you mean to raise your hand?
Hi, you all can't even hear me. I had myself muted.
Okay.
This is Annie Moore. I was so happy. Stacey,
hi, Annie.
Said, hi. I was so happy when Stacey said shared this tonight, this topic with me, to call in. I was like, oh, God, I don't have this problem. And I've been listening, and it's like, yes, you do, Annie. Yes, you do. That's why you wouldn't call anyone when you were, Spirit was just letting me know. That's why I didn't call anyone when I was, my husband was had a stroke in April 1st of last year, and I wouldn't call people. I wouldn't call the church. I would text, but I wouldn't call anybody and talk to them. I called very few people because I thought I was further along in the Word. I thought I was more mature in my relationship with God and the Word until this happened. At the time, I didn't know that I was wearing a mask, but I didn't want anyone to know that I woke up or that I would just feel like some days, like, I can't do this another day. I can't go in this hospital another day. I cannot live this another day. I cannot take care of my husband another day. I did not want to share that with anyone. I did not want to share how I was struggling. I didn't want to share that sometimes, even though I knew I would not go through with suicide, that I felt like if I just didn't have to deal with it. And so I didn't know I was wearing a mask. I didn't. But I thank you all so much for sharing. And I am in counseling now. And I told them, I don't even want to go to counseling. But Annie, you don't want to deal with this stuff. You don't want to take it off. You don't want to face it. You don't want to admit it. It hurts you when you admit it, when you share it. You know, I want the healing. I just don't want to share. I don't want to be transparent. But in the transparency, I am healing, and I am finding out I'm not alone. And I just thank you all so much for all the topics that you all have, all this sharing. I know it's helping me to become healed.
Amen. Amen. Well, Father, I just want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you for my sister. I thank you, Father, for her acknowledging the need that's at hand. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, Father, for allowing her to trust you enough to be vulnerable tonight. Because she trusts you, Father, meet her at her point of need right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for emotional healing from the trauma of the experience of her husband experiencing that stroke in the name of Jesus. Father, comfort her heart because her whole world was shaken by that experience, God. Put her back on a solid foundation. God, set her feet on the rock, which is you, which is Christ Jesus, and give her hope for her future. Because your word tells us that you have good plans and hope for her. And I give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we celebrate. Amen. And we celebrate God for what he did tonight. And Andy, we thank you so much for her call just dropped. But we thank God for her and for her transparency. And if we have any more, does anyone have a prayer request or a comment? If you do, please press 1 on your phone. And if not, it's okay. We want to give thanks to God for a powerful message tonight, for healing and deliverance. This was a very good discussion. And I want to thank everyone for joining us. And to those of you that are listening via the internet, we thank you for joining us tonight. And we ask that you continue to pray for one another, continue to pray for us. And please join us next Friday at 7 p.m. And we will be gathering at the table for another enlightening discussion. God bless you all and have a wonderful night.
Have a wonderful night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.